Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and I should say, as we say every week, the views and opinions expressed in this program don't necessarily represent the views and opinions of GraceNetRadio.com, its staff, or management, but we do hopefully provide food for thought. Now, when it comes to the Obama administration, it seems there's a major new scandal virtually every week, at least I would say every month, but many are skittish to use the I word, as in impeach, presumably because Obama is the first black president. Our guest today, Dr. Alan Unruh, is a pro-life activist in the state of South Dakota, and he has put in a resolution for impeachment which passed at that state's recent Republican convention. The story then became number one on the Drudge Report the next day, and Dr. Unruh has since done many interviews on the subject, both on liberal outlets and conservative outlets. Dr. Unruh joins us now. Dr. Unruh, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here.
So, first question is, do you think that if the types of things that President Obama has done had been done by George W. Bush, there would have been articles for impeachment, serious articles for impeachment, long ago?
There's no question about that. The mainstream media is covering for him every chance they can, and so that's one of the biggest roadblocks that we have. But some of the offenses are becoming so blatant that it would be irresponsible and dereliction of our duty not to talk about what the avenues we have. We only have two avenues to save this republic. Number one, for Congress to defund the president's programs, and they don't have the courage to do that. And second is impeachment, when they violate their oath of office to uphold the Constitution and defend it and protect people from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Okay, first of all, let me say this. Obviously, the potential for impeachment is a potential abuse of power in the sense that it was never designed to be something like, well, we don't agree with this guy's politics, therefore we're going to impeach him. We need to make that very, very clear. This is not a matter of disagreeing with his policies, correct? Or his politics?
Well, that's correct. Well, for instance, he released five terrorist masterminds without consulting Congress, which is required by federal law, at a time when the Al-Qaeda and ISIS are ramping up their forces to destroy Israel and attack us. This is reprehensible when he exchanged them for a soldier who deserted and renounced his commitment to America. Every poll taken showed this was a lousy trade and threatened the security of our country. Some of the people he released have committed war crimes, killing thousands of people, including women and children. And so this threatens the security of our country. He's changed Obamacare over 40 times by executive fiat. A president by himself cannot change a federal law that affects one-sixth of the economy, leaving millions of people now without insurance. Millions don't have a choice of doctor. The VA scandal is a microcosm of what's going to come for all Americans. And he was untruthful to the American people when he said they could keep their doctor, they could keep their insurance. He knew that that was not true, but the election was coming, so to say anything to get elected. And so the American people have been defrauded. The federal courts and the U.S. Supreme Court, a unanimous decision, have ruled that he's violated his oath of office and usurped his authority. Now, I don't think the Supreme Court, some of them who are appointed by the president, are racist. They are ruling based on the facts of what he's doing to destroy America. And so when the federal courts have ruled, he basically stopped drilling off the coast of Florida during the oil spill, federal court said he doesn't have the authority to do that. Well, he ignored the courts and wouldn't allow any more drilling permits. Hmm. He thinks he's above the law, and our Constitution says if we ever have a rogue president that violates his oath, the American people have to take action or our republic will be destroyed. But it has to be a grassroots movement. The American people have to speak up, and that's what we did in South Dakota with our resolution. And it's created a firestorm all across America because the facts are leading. I mean, with Benghazi alone, we still don't know where the president was during Benghazi. And this is an atrocity. That alone could be an impeachable offense. let alone all these other things where he's violated his oath of office.
Okay, now the Constitution specifically says that the president could be impeached and removed from office for high crimes and misdemeanors. Okay, what does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean he's actually committed a crime. It's when they threaten the future security of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution gives certain powers to a president. And when they abuse that power, and the federal law, when they violate federal law, when judges have ruled that they've usurped their authority, then there has to be a political will to remove the president from office, or our republic is at stake. And so, basically, President Nixon had to resign because he was threatened impeachment for lying to Congress,
right,
and taping a Democratic convention. I mean, he was a choir boy compared to President Obama. President Clinton was impeached for obstructing justice and lying to a grand jury. Obama's done a lot more than that, because when he talks about his executive orders, the gravity of them is what counts. He claims that President Bush gave more executive orders, but they were for minor issues.
Right.
Obama's executive orders affect the entire economy. He orders the EPA to change emission standards for global warming to cut them in half. Well, that threatens half the farming industry and our energy resources, making all the coal industry, which is 90% of our energy sources, to go bankrupt. Hmm. Now, who does this affect? It affects the poor. Now, all of a sudden, our energy bills get double and quadruple. People's health care premiums all of a sudden are 3 to 4 or 5 times more than what they were, in addition to having a $10,000 to $12,000 deductible and not having a choice of doctor. Half the doctors are going to be gone in a couple of years, because if you don't pay doctors, where are you going to get health care? And so if we become a welfare state, a welfare nation, and then the cover on the Fort Hood massacre, saying that's just domestic violence, the eliminating of Purple Heart, when the evidence was true all for a year ahead that this guy was a terrorist, confiding in the people who masterminded 9/11, and they covered it up for because of political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things, we've never had an issue of constitutional crisis like we have today with this president.
But I would say that do you think it'd be fair to assume that most Democrats, including those in the House and the Senate, would still stand by President Obama for the most part, unless they're running for re-election? And then in that case, they're kind of like, keep Mr. President, go ahead and keep your presence distant from me as I'm running for re-election. But in reality, they would agree with the president, on the effects of a lot of his governing.
Well, they might, but I'll tell you one thing. If we don't raise this discussion to a high level, for instance, our federal laws on immigration, he's ignoring them. Yeah. He said, if Congress doesn't act, I will. I'll fix immigration alone.
He's got a pen. He's got a phone. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a pen and a phone. Well, we do. We also have a pen and a phone. And all it takes right now, if you're a member of the enemies of our country, the time to come to America is right now. I mean, there's reports that there are enemy cells all over the country, and you can blow up a 1,000 people with a suitcase bomb nowadays. It's a very dangerous threat to our country, letting anybody come in over the borders, and then him actually filing a lawsuit against the governors who try to protect their borders by trying to enforce the federal law. I think they need to do what Governor Perry's attempting, and say, so sue me. Let's put it right back on him. Make him sue all the governors for enforcing the federal law, and let's see what happens.
All right, we're talking right now with Dr. Alan Unruh, and he is a pro-life activist from the state of South Dakota, and he has basically he's calling for impeachment of the president. Now, you write this. You said the federal courts and unanimous decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court have ruled 13 times in a row that President Obama has usurped his authority, and these have not been on minor issues. Your comments?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the courts now recently on the Hobby Lobby case, the Senate ignores the court when it doesn't rule their way, the radical left.
Now, that particular decision, by the way, was contested in the sense that it was 5-4, so it wasn't one of the unanimous ones you were referring to. But go ahead. Go ahead about Hobby Lobby.
The unanimous one was on the National Labor Relations Board. The president doesn't have the authority to declare when Congress is in recess. And he just figures he can appoint whoever he wants, and these appointments were reprehensible and threatened this country. So,
you know, let me just stop you right there, because I think this is worth, you know, underscoring here. When Congress is not in session, that's when executive orders, you know, presumably could be allowed. But essentially, he doesn't agree with Congress because of the Republican majority in the House. Therefore, even though Congress was in session, he went ahead and made some appointments without their approval, and that's what the Supreme Court even unanimously voted against.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when you get his own appointment saying you don't have the authority, and I think the next 2 years, even if we win the House and Senate, I think this president will exert and usurp his authority because he has an agenda, and that's fundamental reform of the United States of America. He thinks the forefathers were wrong when he gave us our rights from God. In fact, the Hobby Lobby case was all about religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
They want to force all Americans for their abortion agenda and sexuality agenda. And this, you don't have the right to freedom of conscience. The reason our forefathers fled to America was for freedom of conscience, freedom mm-hmm. to worship God. Our national motto, one nation under God. We're the only country where our rights come from God, not government. He wants government to replace God as a source of all rights, which will destroy the whole premise and foundation on which our country was founded.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly disagree with President Obama politically. I guess the question is, at what point do things that he does reach the level of treason, as you know, as people would understand it, and therefore he should be impeached? Treason, of course, is something where you are doing something against the interests of the country itself. Now, obviously, it seems like a lot of the things the president is doing are beyond his bounds, and you're saying, hey, this is what the founding fathers gave us as a measure to do this, which is impeachment.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the reason all these tens of thousands of people are coming across the borders having an open border is a direct result of Obama's, the president's edicts and orders. He basically said he will not deport children. And it's no accident that they're all just happening to be coming now, because if they set their foot on America, they're all of a sudden get all the entitlements that we have,
Free
housing, food, clothing. It's a disaster at the borders right now, and we got drug lords coming and gangs and enemies of our country who say death to America. That's the motto now of radical Islam. And so they're trying to destroy Israel. They're trying to destroy our country next. And it's a major threat to the future of this country. And a president can't put orders that violate our federal laws and then threaten lawsuits against states that try to enforce the law, because some of these border states, 90% of their prisoners are full of criminals. He let out 36,000 convicted felons of illegal immigrants. Just let them go by executive order. This threatens the security of our country. The first duty of government is to protect its citizens from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It seems like this president has more faith in opposite religions that are against this country than the people who are trying to defend it. And so those things, all it takes is one more terrorist attack that causes major offense to bring this country to its knees. It's all going to be a direct result of some of the usurping of the authority of this president. And that's why the American people need to be aware of this. He's counting on the uneducated electorate and the power of his executive order usurping it to just ignore federal courts and just go on doing what he's doing. And that's why impeachment is really the only option left.
Mm.
But it takes a lot of political will. More than anything else, it's going to take a tremendous grassroots resistance to what he's doing and courage in Congress and courage in our elected governors to be defending this Constitution that they all took an oath to uphold.
All right. Now, in the meantime, you mentioned earlier that the two remedies that Congress has to basically withstand or to disagree with the president's agenda are to deny him funding, and you said that they lack the will to do that, or to impeach him. Well, if they're not willing to, let's say, withhold the funding, then how in the world could you think that they would be willing to go ahead and bring forth articles of impeachment?
Well, I look at it this way. If a policeman sees somebody breaking the law, they have to arrest him. It would be dereliction of duty to let him get by with it. If Congress watches the president violate his oath and threaten the security of our country, they have an obligation and a duty to start the initiative. Now, if they start the initiative, now they have a tremendous ability to expose all the ways the president has violated his oath. This would freeze him in his tracks, because everything he does during that initiative process would add fuel to the flames. And a policeman may arrest somebody and a liberal judge lets him off. He still has not committed dereliction of duty. He's done his duty. A judge may let him off and the Senate may let him off. But at least Congress would be doing the duty that they were elected to do, and that's uphold their oath of office, mm-hmm. to defend the Constitution and uphold the oath of office that they all took.
Well, one thing, too, is that it's one thing to talk about politics. Okay, it's a given that you and I both very much disagree with President Obama's agenda, his goals, etc. It's another thing when dealing with a plethora of scandals where, you know, there's actual violation or alleged violation of the law. The IRS scandal, the VA scandal. Sometimes it seems like there's so many scandals that it's almost like if everything's a priority, nothing's a priority. And it's just like, wow, the guy just keeps getting away with it.
Well, I know. I mean, when you think about the fact that there's been over 2,500 FOIA requests by Judicial Watch and over 150 lawsuits to uncover the IRS scandal. 10 days after it was uncovered, they miraculously lost their emails.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't inform Congress, which is required by federal law. And then a few months later, they said, oh, by the way, we lost our hard drives, too.
Mm.
Now the EPA says, well, we lost our emails, too, and our hard drives have been destroyed. And six other IRS agencies said, we lost our emails.
Mm.
I mean, if this, the coincidence of this happening, if any American would do that, the IRS would throw them in jail. We'd be rotting in jail for 50 years. But it's like the law, the rule of law has to apply. If there's no accountability in government, we have a rogue government. And then pretty soon, well, there's no accountability. And so that's why we need to rise up. I mean, when the IRS now has met with the president 230 times, and this IRS scandal could lead directly to the White House, because there's a reason why they won that last election, not allowing anybody who opposes the president to get organized or to inform people. And some of the harassment that the IRS gave that's been uncovered is unbelievable. And so you're right. I mean, there's one thing after another, and the evidence is becoming all, it's mounting up from every direction, how it threatens our country economically. I don't know of any area of the country that's improving. I mean, our unemployment, we've got almost 100 million people not working in this country. And not only that, but our religious freedoms are being destroyed, the First Amendment rights, every aspect of the Constitution we need to defend. And citizens, we need to be informed, we need to be involved, because all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for enough good people to do nothing.
Mm.
I always say in times of moral and economic crisis, silence isn't golden, it's yellow. We can't be fearful, we have to be bold. And one man in truth is an army, one man with God is a majority. That's our philosophy. I believe America is worth saving, and that's why we put this resolution in. We're getting contacts from all over the country. Other states want to put in resolutions. Everything starts with this humble beginning. Rosa Parks refused to go to the back of the bus.
Well, she refused to give up her seat on the bus.
She refused to give up her seat. That's right.
Right.
And she made a profound difference. And, you know, that's the way I look at this. Everything starts somewhere. And we can make a difference. Enough people need to be bold and speak up and elect people who have courage. And they're trying to thwart people now. They look at what happened in Mississippi, whether that election was legitimate. They've already found 10,000 fraudulent votes there.
Wow.
And when the president tries to challenge people's identity to vote and voter ID laws, it leads to nothing but corruption, because if people don't have to identify who they are, well, how is that going to work? We have all these swing states where they didn't have voter ID laws, where the president won, and you find 50-some counties were now pulling every vote, 100% of them were for the president. The laws of statistics say that's impossible. So we have a lot of challenges in this country, but the main thing is we cannot allow our leaders to not be accountable for their actions, especially when they're threatening our future, our safety, our health, and our security. And I'm fearful for this country if we don't speak up. And even if I always say South Dakota is a flyover state, they call us, well, we can be a beacon of light when they fly over.
Yeah, very good. Well, you know, I'm very fascinated, and I think it's no just a historical trivial thing. The founders of this country, even those who didn't know Jesus Christ personally, had a Judeo-Christian world and life view. As one political scientist put it, as far as the Bible is concerned, they knew the Bible down to their fingertips. They based much of what we do here on the rule of law with a biblical understanding. I'm going to quote you and then have you comment on this paragraph from you, okay? As we're talking with Dr. Alan Unruh, a pro-life activist from South Dakota, who's saying it's time to use the I word in reference to President Obama, as in impeach. Here's Dr. Unruh. Our forefathers understood the sinful nature of men and knew that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They envisioned that from time to time we will elect men who will violate their oath and usurp their authority, and the impeachment process is the only avenue available to save this country from tyrannical abuse of power. The Constitution belongs to we the people. The Supreme Court has, over time, reversed itself over 230 times in American history. They are fallible human beings. Without separation of powers, tyranny becomes the norm, and the rule of law is gone. If an initiative is started to impeach, it will have a major effect on everything Obama does in the next 3 years. So wrote Dr. Alan Unruh, who is our guest right now. Your comment on that, I think, well-written paragraph.
Well, you know, I feel our forefathers, they understood we all born with a sinful nature. George Washington says it's impossible to govern without God in the Bible. And we've come a long way from that. And so that's why they gave every safeguard possible with separation of powers. Excuse me. The judicial branch has certain limitations. And the Congress and Senate, as well as the executive branch. And if any branch becomes usurping that authority, our forefathers felt we'd have checks and balances to preserve this republic. Well, the stars all aligned, and they had a supermajority in the Senate, and that's how Obamacare got passed. But they didn't have a supermajority. The race in Massachusetts, when Brown, Senator Brown won, they didn't have a majority to do it. They said, well, we'll just change the rule of law. We'll do it by reconciliation. They just change rules any way they can to get this passed through threats and bribes, allowing the Cornhusker kickback in Nebraska, you won't have to pay, and other states to get them to vote a certain way.
The Louisiana
and
Purchase.
There's one scandal after another ever since this election. So that's why we have these checks and balances. And if we ever forget we're one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under, says Ronald Reagan. And so that's what with the message we need to get loud and clear up. The pulpits throughout America need to preach that message.
Well, we certainly need to preach that righteousness, you know, is extremely important. But righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any peoples. Certainly preach on general principles of government. Then the Bible does have a lot to say about that. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's from Psalm 33. That was, I think, one of Abraham Lincoln's favorite verses. He quoted it in at least one proclamation I can think of, a proclamation for prayer and fasting. By the way, that particular proclamation is something I think every American ought to read sometime. You know, he talks about how we have been blessed by God in so many incredible ways, intoxicated with unbroken success, but we have forgotten God, and we have forgotten that God is the source of our blessings, and we need to repent and pray and so forth. And therefore, he called for a day of fasting and prayer, and that was in April 30, 1863. That was the date of the fasting and prayer, and it's quite an amazing proclamation written a month before that. Okay, Dr. Unruh, as we wind down this discussion on impeachment, do you think this is a realistic possibility?
Well, I think it has to be. If President Obama doesn't get impeached for what he's done, nobody will ever be impeached. We will no longer have separation of powers. The executive branch will be given almost unlimited authority to do what they want. If Hillary gets elected, they'll cry sexism. On this, I don't think the Supreme Court was racist when they gave their decisions, and the federal courts. It's all based on the policies of this president. You know, the night before Paul Revere's ride, Jonas Clark and Samuel Adams, and the preacher was named Jonas Clark, and John Hancock met. And John Hancock asked Samuel Adams, if it comes to war, do you think the people will fight? And Jonas Clark, the preacher in Lexington, jumped up. He said, I know they'll fight because I prepared them just for that. I know they'll fight. And the next day, they said, don't shoot unless fired upon, but if it means war, let it begin here.
Mm-hmm.
And when several parishioners laid dead on the church parking lot the next day, he said, let this be known as the day freedom starts around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it started in a country church with a country preacher on a church parking lot.
Mm.
And churches all across America had Minutemen who'd fight for freedom at a minute's notice. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. They knew all freedom comes from God. It doesn't come anywhere else. And that's what gave us our freedom. Hundreds of men in every church throughout America fought the British for one principle. They gave their lives, and millions have given their lives fighting tyranny since the dawn of history, since our country was founded. America is the hope of the world. And if we ever give out that hope that our one nation under God, where all rights come, where we have the ability to develop our knowledge, talents, and abilities under a freedom. If we lose that and lose the incentive, and we hope security will all come from government and government will take care of us, it's a false hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what my challenge is for people, to realize that all freedom comes from God, and it's worth fighting for. John Stuart Mills once said, there's only one thing worse than war. And that's the philosophy that nothing's worth fighting for.
Mm.
And I think that freedom's worth fighting for no matter what.
Yeah, let me say something here, too. The ultimate founder of this radio station, in the studio where I'm seated here, was Dr. D. James Kennedy. And I know that you are a big fan of his. I mean, I could just tell it in a lot of what you've said. It's like you're listening to Dr. Kennedy's sermon so carefully. The incident you described with the pastor and the church parking lot, that's Lexington, Massachusetts. April 19th, 1775 was the date. That was the day that the British killed all those different American church members of Jonas Clark's church there, the church in Lexington. And the British, by the way, were on their way to Concord when the Christian men there in Lexington confronted them, and then many of them were slaughtered. And that was really the very beginning of that war. And as far as trading freedom and security, didn't Benjamin Franklin say something along the lines of, you know, somebody who would be willing to give up his freedom in order to maintain his security is not worthy of either. And we'll lose both. And I think there's so much truth to that. There's so much wisdom from the founding fathers. Going back to D. James Kennedy, he has this new, even though he's been dead for 7 years, we have compiled some of his great messages on America's Christian roots and the threats to those. And it's called America at the Tipping Point. And Dr. Unruh, I appreciate what you're doing. Again, not everybody will agree with what you're saying about this whole issue of impeachment, but it's certainly food for thought. How about a closing thought from Dr. Alan Unruh, pro-life activist of South Dakota?
Well, maximum security is a prison. You can have four walls around you, and they'll feed you three times a day, but you're not free. And so I just would say that one man in God is a majority, one man in truth is an army, and seek the truth and be bold, and every individual has to do what they can to preserve freedom in this country.
So it's kind of like freedom. Use it or lose it. Is there a website you want to refer us to or anything for more information?
Well, they could email me. It's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at draunruh.com, draunruh.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best, sir.
Thank you very much.